Open this evening to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service, because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. The scripture teaches us that faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the word of God. We've read the word of God. And there is a gift. There is a gift that is imparted by the Lord himself to those who would hear. It is a gift of faith. It is a gift of belief. And the scripture that we've read together, just like every time we open the scriptures together, and it seems like even more so when we come together in the midweek, when we take it slowly, and we don't just let it touch our ears, but let it sink down into our hearts. This word that we have before us is overflowing with goodness and gifts for us. Apostle Paul begins with an exhortation to servants to obey their masters. And we may think that this applies to some and not to others, but there is a principle and a truth that applies to one and all. We all have a master. There's someone who we obey. Some love their masters, and they willingly follow and look forward to doing everything that their master commands. And yet they're following the wrong one. And some are following the wrong one, and they despise their master. And they hate doing what they're doing, but he is still their master because they obey him. Some are in a house of one, but they serve somebody else. And by name, they belong to one family. But by deed, and by reality, and by the heart, they're somewhere far away. And those that hate their master, they coil back when they hear their master's voice calling to them. And they don't want to go that way again. But this is not the picture that our Lord has given for us who are his children. We who are the sons and daughters of God, we love God. And we love his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. They're life and they're goodness to us. And if we stray from the path, we long to return. It's not difficult for one who surrendered their all to love the Lord, because he is the one who changes the heart and makes it a burden that's easy and light. And so the servant of God, the son of God, he's known by his love for the Lord and his obedience to his commands, and his willingness to carry out to the end his Lord's will and not his own. That is one picture of a servant in the household of God. Another one is given in the Gospel of John, chapter 13. Where Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples, and he washes their feet. And it says, beginning with verse 12, "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." There are two very important relationships that Jesus speaks of in these few verses. One of the disciple to his Lord, the Lord that he loves, the Lord that he desires to obey, the Lord that he knows is greater than him. And we need to find that relationship in its right order. We listen. We sit at his feet for learning. We're waiting for his command. And we're happy to do them. If you know that he is great, and you know that he is master, and you kick against the pricks like Apostle Paul before he was Apostle Paul, when he was persecuting the church and doing against the Lord, his life was described as kicking against the pricks. He was contradicting himself and contradicting the truth. And he was not happy. He was not joyful. He was not at peace. He was not free. He was a slave to a master that hated him. But when he learned to say, "Lord, what would thou have me to do?" he obtained the promise, "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Lord, I am here. Lord, I'm yours. Show me the way. But there's another relationship that's talked about here that is following that first relationship. When a soul knows the Lord as Master and as Savior, it does something to his relationship with the brethren. There is much emphasis placed upon my relationship with the Lord. And that is first and foremost. For without that, we can do nothing. But just as the words of Christ did not stop with his disciples, but went out from Jerusalem and into Judea and to in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, the word of the Lord comes to our hearts. We embrace it through faith. And it goes forth into our thoughts, into our decisions, into our convictions, into how do we treat one another. And the word makes it very clear and plain that if we do not love the brethren, how can we say we love God? The two go so beautifully hand in hand. And Jesus, as he's teaching the disciples about him being the master, he says, there needs to be some follow-up work about how you treat and how you care for one another. Is any man in Christ outside of his brethren? Can any man say that he loves God but have no love for his brothers? It's impossible. The two must exist together. And so how does it look, Jesus? It looks like you washing one another's feet. Jesus gave an example for the disciples to follow. And at the feet of another, we find the application of one of the verses in the epistles that Paul wrote, that you esteem one another higher than yourself. That we are not our own. We are bought with a price, and our life reverberates and makes effects on those around us. And so, as Jesus teaches them as master, washing their feet, he gives the picture for us that we are just one member of the body. We are just one of the branches. If we are bearing fruit, we are depending completely upon the Lord, and we are serving him, and we're living to bless one another as well. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. This is the command of our master. And Apostle Paul is teaching servants to honor and obey their masters. Every one of us has a master. And we can only choose one. And so we must pay attention to the words of Jesus, how he has taught, how he has instructed. Upon the words of Jesus hinge our understanding of the scripture, because the Old Testament is described as a shadow. Some people take verses from the Old Testament and want to develop doctrines that we should live by today. But that's like taking the shadow and saying, ah, I see now clearly. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is the very image of the things. It is the very point. It is what all of the Old Testament was leading up to. It is the fulfillment of the old. And that is what we look to. Jesus Christ and his words as the basis and beginning point of our faith and the very end. And so, Apostle Paul says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words which of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, doting about something, being very loving and particular about questions and strifes of words. But we see the words of Jesus, and we read the words of the Sermon on the Mount, which has been called the Constitution of the Kingdom of God. I like that phrase. It teaches us what it means to be a part of the Kingdom of God. And from that, there are no questions. There is clarity. Difficult and impossible for man, for sure, on his own. But what about Christ in you? What about your hope of glory? What about everything that you find precious and that you have left all of the things of this world for to obtain? Is that not in us? Is that not abiding? Is that flame not glowing and growing? Even as we have prayed, I was very touched by the brother who said, the torch must be carried. There have been those who have gone before us, and a heritage that we look back on with love and appreciation. But that torch is not to be left in history books. It's to be carried within the life. It's to be lived out. And it's to lighten and brighten the world that is lost. The world that embraces sin. And even the dark corners of our heart. We must hold this light of the Word of God and let it make its correction. You see the fruits. You see the fruits of turning away from the words of Jesus Christ. It says, whereof cometh envy and strife, railings and evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. In Jesus Christ, there's true contentment. And there's not an envying and a longing for what someone else has. We grieve when we see that others are missing the point and missing Christ's teachings. But we cannot turn to the ways of the world. We cannot turn to ways of unholiness to combat the darkness. The scripture is clear and plain that we are to overcome evil with good. We are hurt when men turn away from the simplicity of obedience to Christ Jesus, and of a full-hearted love and desire to do what is pleasing unto the Father, regardless of whether it's popular or highly esteemed in the sight of men. But we're to pray for them. We're to show them an example that's different and distinct. One that is trusting in our Father who provides us all things good. That's the one that we're serving. Withdraw thyself from such. I think we'll have to end with this one. This is the one that we'll have to finish with and ponder on. Whose company do I need to leave so that I can serve my Lord? What effects and influences are serving to enhance and to nurse to brightness that flame of love for Jesus Christ that I claim that I live for? What needs to go? When we look back, we'll find out it's just chaff. It's just chaff. Nothing of value. Jesus teaches us to leave nothing that is of value behind. but to lay hold. To lay hold upon eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. May the Lord, in his wisdom, guide our hearts to obey the truth and to serve our loving Master, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.